messages on screen will be added eventually when that version becomes available. This station will now
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we're ready to bring survival goodness direct to your dirty little ear holes.
Right in there with the podcast.
How goes it, Cameron?
Goes good.
I feel like we had to reintroduce each other. We haven't seen each other in so long.
What your name, I believe, is Kobe, right?
You look familiar. Do I know your parents?
That voice sounds awfully familiar.
Awfully familiar. So what are we doing today, Cameron?
I think we have a pretty exciting podcast.
I'm excited.
This is a good one. This is kind of a big one in the prepper community.
Yeah.
We want to talk to y'all about blackout, grid down.
Grid down. We're talking grid down. We've been talking grid down in lots of other episodes, but this one is specifically
this is all about grid down. It's 100%.
100% grid down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got some other stuff.
And yeah, I think we have a review of one of our favorite sponsors.
Taka Pak.
Yeah, we do.
I'll just say that every time for some reason.
And then just the old regular garbage that we got for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Guys, first, though, today's podcast is brought to you by Taka Pak, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TAC Pack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TACPAK.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TACPAK.com. And like Cameron said, we got one to talk about today. We are excited about it, aren't
we? Yeah, it has some soy sauce.
Sure does.
Listener reviews starts now.
This is going to start right now.
Yeah, go ahead. You take this one, bro.
All right.
Okay.
Listener review says, drop that boom bass. So, yeah. iTunes by S5 Redneck from UK on February 9th, 2018. This was written.
Yes.
Cam and Kobe are masters of the prepping podcast world with priceless info like how to fend off hook hand looters or extract loose.
Nope.
Oh, I got to say it right. Extract a tooth luth. You won't be disappointed. So get subscribed and stay survived because you never know when an earthquake cane will strike or them pesky Russian knees will attack.
Yeah, thank you. Oh,
that's a listener there.
It is. You know,
if you don't know what they're talking about, you're not caught up.
Yeah, you got to catch up because he had like 10 different references in there.
Yeah.
He's doing
the
well. So
freaking thing.
Yes, yeah, so if you guys want to be part of this podcast or part of this portion of the podcast, go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Kindle book on Amazon, leave us a 5-star review and make it awesome.
Social media shout out.
Ready for this.
Ow.
So a social media shout out. We're going to shout out our good buddies, our good friends over at At Cold Products, and they like you guys
with a K.
With a K. KOLD. They like you guys so much that they gave us our very own special little code, and it's Prepper5. Okay, you know what this does? This gives you 50% off all their stuff on Amazon.
That's amazing.
That is, it's super amazing.
Well, I actually saw you put that in there. I went to Amazon to see if it's true.
Did you? Was it?
It is true.
It is true.
And their stuff, I use their bottles almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, they're fantastic stuff. They have really cool products.
50% off. That's amazing.
So if you're looking for like some bottles to keep your water cold.
24-ounce one for, 24. 24. I think you get it around like, I'm going to say $50. I don't know.
Good deal. Whatever it is.
It's a freaking way good deal.
So that is good until March 14th of 2018. So make sure you go ahead and use that. Because you'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
50% off.
Yeah.
It's a mad, mad world.
It's a mad, mad world.
It is, yeah.
So I was going to talk about there was that, did you see the volcano?
I did not.
That erupted in Indonesia.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so it had been dormant for like, I don't know, like 8 million years or something, and then just started spewing ash and stuff into the sky. People were freaking out. Didn't kill anybody though, so it's not as tragic as it could be. But anyways, I think
Was it at? Indonesia?
Indonesia.
Looks like it says Cinnabung.
Well, yeah, but it's Indonesia's Cinnabung. That's right. That's
Can I get one Cinnabung?
Oh, I've been craving a Cinnabung. man.
Oh, have you guys ever been to Cinnabon?
Yes. But, you know, my Mad Mad World is going to be this. 200,000 downloads for the Casual Preppers podcast.
That is a Mad Mad World. People are listening to this garbage.
What in the hell's wrong with you people? Seriously. Why are you listening to this?
That's like way over 199,000 downloads.
Yeah. We never thought we'd get this far, but here we are. We started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading.
Yeah, get us up there to 500K. That'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So my Mad Mad World is just about like teachers and guns and stuff. So
yeah.
Not specifically on that, but so, you know, with the recent Florida shooting, the fact that they're talking about having teachers have guns, like, that's just crazy, man. If that's not a mad, mad world, I don't know what.
The world is mad. There's no doubt there that that's...
And then stuff like, you know, recently Dick's Sporting Goods.
Dick's.
They're being dicks.
Yeah. And they're not selling the ARs no more.
No. And that, I don't know. But anyway, that's just, it's getting mad out there.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. The good thing is it'll all die down in 2 weeks. Everybody will forget about it.
And sales are just going to keep going up.
Yeah.
So, good job, everybody.
Well done, people.
But yeah, it's a mad, mad world because, you know, you got to get your guns.
Your guns because the grid's going down.
Right.
Down, down, down. Grid's going down. So let's talk about that, Cameron. Let's talk about grid down. Today, that's what we're talking about. Just grid down in any kind of scenario. We're going to talk about how it's going to happen, what it's going to look like, what the fudge you're going to do about it when it happens, and beforehand, what can you do to sort of prep for it, right? Cam's got all sorts of good stuff.
So is the grid only the power grid?
What do you mean? Well, I mean, that's basically what, I mean, this is basically grid down, power down, no power.
Right.
Okay. No power. I think we should have established this before this right now.
I know, I'm just bringing it up.
Okay, good.
I'm just bringing it up to clarify.
Okay, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not like I'm, what are we talking about? What's a grid?
Before I go any further, what are we talking about? Yeah. So first thing we're going to talk about is how this can happen. What are the different ways that the grid's going to go down, you know? And we've already talked about before in a previous podcast, just like short-term power outages, right? We talked about, I can't remember which one. We had one that was similar to that.
We talked about ways this...
Well, we talked about just like, you know, prepping for power outages, you know, but that's mostly like a short-term thing.
We did.
This basically becomes a long-term thing. This is what we're talking about. So how is it going to happen, Cameron? There's many different ways.
There's a lot of ways, which is pretty surprising.
It is. I'm super surprised.
How susceptible is our power?
It's very susceptible.
It's pretty fragile.
So the first one that we all think about, it's, you know, everybody always talks about is an EMP. Electromagnetic pulse, and we've talked about this before, but if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, we'll go over it. So an EMP basically occurs when a nuclear bomb explodes above the Earth's atmosphere. And so since there is no atmosphere to convert the bomb's energy to mechanical energy in the form of a shockwave, all that bomb's energy goes out as an electromagnetic energy. So basically what happens is that comes down and that fries anything that has like solid-state electronics. Is exactly what it sounds like. How does it sound?
That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly how
fried.
That's how I pictured in my mind actually happening, just like that. Yeah,
I know. That's why I did it.
Yeah. So, so this is one way everybody talks about it. It gets almost over talked about in the prepper community. Everybody talks about it. You know, we've all read. Well, I guess we haven't all read. One Second After. That's basically what that book is about. Is an EMP. The grid goes down and stuff goes nutty.
Yeah.
Right? Everything goes crazy. So who's going to do this? Like, what are the possible scenarios where that would actually happen? So, obviously, we've been talking about North Korea a lot. And that dude's a madman over there. And he's trying his darndest to get his hands on a nuke. I don't know if he's smart enough to say, hey, let's just blow it up above. You know, he's going to be like, I want to get... Okay, that's not how he sounds at all.
Yeah.
How does he sound?
I can't do a Korean accent.
You can't?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Why throw the bomb over? I don't know.
I want you to get that Trump. I don't want you. You got to blow over at the White House.
You blow up at DC.
Yeah, exactly. So North Korea, that's one. Iran, we've been dealing with them for quite a while too. You know, we think they might have a nuke. Who knows? Russia, we know they have nukes, right?
They have everything.
Yeah, they have everything in there. They're just
Let's build everything to destroy America.
They're kind of creepy, those Russians.
They really are.
They're just a little bit creepy.
They're always creepy.
They're always
always been creepy.
You all nice people. We like you. And then they like throw a bomb at you. You just don't know what's going to happen.
I know. True.
You know what I mean? So you got to be careful of the Russians. And then the other thing is terror cells. You know, it's tough for them to get something like that, but it's definitely possible, right?
It is.
I got to check this thing. A lot more. It's being really weird.
Please tell me it's working.
I don't know. We're going to check it out.
Did I need to pause or just keep
going? No, we're still going. We're good.
Sorry.
Okay, we're good. We just thought this thing stopped recording, and it happens to us once in a while. And
probably every other podcast.
It's a huge pain in our butts, but it's still going. We're still here, guys. Okay, anyways, Russia, terror cells, all that kind of stuff. Experts agree that up to 90% of Americans will die within the first year after an EMP. If it's a total EMP attack and the grid goes down, 90% of Americans.
That is insane.
That number just blows my mind. 90%. 9 out of 10 people are dead.
It's like electricity is our lifeline.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And so that's why grid down is such a crazy scenario. Lifeline. We don't want it to happen. Okay, so the next possible scenario, coronal mass ejection. We've talked about this a whole bunch, too.
One of the best written things ever.
Yeah. So basically what this is a huge solar flare, right? So solar flares, basically they're masses of gases. And they fly off of the sun, and there are these big spikes, solar flares, and what it does is it's accompanied by electromechanical activity and produces an EMP, and it could...
It seems like the most ridiculous, far-out really scientific thing, but we're going to talk about it because it actually happened.
It has actually happened.
We already have, and you guys probably don't remember, so we're going to remind
you. We've talked about it, but Cam's going to talk about it later. So that could absolutely positively happen. Another thing, it could be a terrorist attack, and this could be anything from, you know, just grassroots attacks on the grid in a bunch of different ways. It could be, like we said, a large nuke or EMP or even cyber attacks. And, you know, from terror.
That crap is just like constant. I mean, they fight it on a daily basis.
I can't remember what the number was of how many attacks that the United States fends off a day.
It's insane.
But it's like thousands and thousands and thousands. Yeah.
There's just big old fat 35-year-old slobs
exactly.
In Russian basements and everywhere else in the world.
So, you know, the increased networking of the electrical grids worldwide allows for, you know, it's time-saving, it's money-saving, the way that they're all connected. But what that does is makes them way more vulnerable to cyber attacks. And those things are happening constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly by China and Russia. They are the leaders in cyber attacks across the world by far. China even has their own cyber warfare division in their military.
I cyber warfare division.
We'll bring down terrain on your ass. Well, I went from like Chinese
that
to
must be,
redneck.
California Chinatown.
I don't know what that was. Anyways.
We bring down Chinatown on your
terrain. So cyber attacks would be really bad. The last one that I have here is natural disasters. Obviously, this happens, and it's happened recently in Puerto Rico. They've been having issues.
When did they have even gotten power to part of the rest of the country yet?
I think part of it's still out, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, hurricanes, earthquakes.
Yeah, and it can be devastating.
Earthquakes, all those things.
By far the worst.
Yeah, by far earthquakes, you don't want to deal with them. So, those are kind of all the ways that we could, like, lose a total grid, you know, grid down, boom. Bad deal.
Yeah. And those are all like extremely likely to happen.
Yeah. Those things could actually happen.
It's
freaky. And they probably will, some of those.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. We'll talk about the, again, my favorite, the CME in my pants. The coronal mass ejection.
You can't say injection. You have to go injection.
So in recent history, the biggest event for one of these things was the Carrington event in 1859.
Mm-hmm.
So that night,
mm-hmm.
So in 1859, you know, iPhones,
yeah.
You know, that stuff wasn't there. So like to really understand what effect it really would have had, it's hard. But
it's hard to know, yeah.
Even back then, this is kind of the weird crap that happened. So that night, telegraph communications around the world began to fail. There were reports of sparks showering from telegraph machines. They shocked operators, started stuff on fire. That's one thing,
bad.
Like all this like power surge just like put crap ablaze and just cut off all the regular technology at that time. So all over the planet, it was really weird. They had colorful auroras.
Aurora. Aurora.
So the nighttime sky got all screwy and like it made birds like chirp in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
People thought that it was morning. We're getting up.
Dogs and cats living together.
Lions were laying with the lambs.
Yeah.
It got like real freaky there. And this was all from just the sun bursting out its coronal mass ejection.
Democrats were making sense. Oh, I'm nutty, man.
Yeah. So
I'm just kidding. Love you, Democrats.
Don't get political.
Don't get political. Everybody gets mad.
But yeah, so there wasn't very many electronics at that time. So for what it did to what simple, you know, technology was then, like what would happen now would just be completely devastating. Like you just fry everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even Kobe put down right here, cost us around 2.6 trillion bones.
2.6 trillion. It's a large number.
Yeah, so that's what they estimate it would cost. And I mean, that's like out that's of the pocket though. Of like, what, Facebook?
What?
Zuckerberg's
How much
pocket?
You think it cost Dad Dunn Carrington if that happened today? I don't know. 2.6 trillion? I'm going to guess.
You know? I don't know. Looking at all the transformers and power grid, I don't know. 2.6 trillion is probably.
My wife constantly watching TV, huh? $2.6 trillion? No, no.
Just sitting there thinking for like 2 seconds. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say probably $2.6 trillion. I don't know.
What time is it? Yeah, about $2.6
trillion. Think my phone here is about $800. $2.6 trillion.
Care to one. This on the coast and on that side. Yeah, $2.6 trillion.
Easy. $2.6 trillion. But yeah,
expensive.
That's just like you can't even. Can you count that? I can't.
I can't count that.
But it's just an incredible amount of damage. And then not to mention the 90% that are going to die.
Yeah.
I got all mixed up. So we talked about, too, in the Mad Mad World, I think you mentioned it, Kobe, is the Ukraine. The hacking.
Did I mention? Oh, in a different Mad Mad World. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
So the country's power grid in Ukraine was hit by a well-engineered malware called Black Energy.
We call this Black Energy.
That disconnected electrical substations from the main power grid. So the Ukrainian government had publicly blamed Russia for the attack. Everybody blames Russia, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Which left approximately 700,000 homes without power for several hours on December 23rd. So
Christmas Eve.
I think December 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. But losing power in the middle of—I mean, Ukraine's probably frozen all the time, right?
Yeah,
but at that
time, how I picture it.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And this is just like a common thing. Ukraine, man, that freaking country.
We've done it. We've had several like Mad Worlds.
They're like the punching bag.
That's what we said.
Russian tea bags.
Ukraine's our beach. We say Ukraine is our beach. We do whatever we want.
So today I looked on YouTube. You can find videos of, like, they show the computer screen of, like, the power grid.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a ghost mouse, you know? Like, ghost it took mouse. Control. Like, you can just watch on the screen, and they're going up to the transformer, like, the connections, and clicking on them.
Really?
And, like, trying to disconnect them.
That's just funny.
And you can hear them all. Well, I guess that's more Iranian. But they're, like, freaking out, watching. They can't do anything. They just watch them.
Luckily, it was on, like, a Windows 7 machine, so it kept saying, do you really want to shut down the power grid? And they couldn't get
they
to it fast
space
enough.
Bar. Yeah. No, you ain't.
Yeah.
But pretty crazy. They just, like, basically remotely connected to the. It's just, it's kind of crazy to me that those are online.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you can find your way to those
things. The dude's like surfing Facebook while like the grid is on the same computer, you know, just like, and then, the grid's on there too.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and put this minesweeper. What? Somebody just took over. And then, they just go through and disconnect and they shut off power.
It's insane, dude.
This happened and it happens all the time. It's just crazy out there. So they go right after those, you know, big industrial systems, the power plants and things like that, because I mean, those nuclear power plants, those coal plants, they power everything. And it's just like, you go after that one thing and it just wipes out power for tons of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
some simpler things, like instead of being, you know, over the top about some of the cooler ways to lose power.
Cooler.
In 2012, India, this was like one of the biggest blackouts ever. And it was just an overusage of power, like fried the system.
Overusage of power.
I know.
We got too many 7-Elevens online right now.
Everybody's pumping gas right now.
Turn down the Slurpee machine. We're going to lose power.
Do not turn on the microwave, no.
Your burrito will have to wait.
It,
that's so racist.
It is, you did.
That's racist.
But you had to bring up 7-Eleven. So 620 million people lost power for about 20
hours. That's like 1% of India, probably.
6% of the world's population.
Gosh.
Isn't that crazy? So, and this was just from too many 7-Elevens online.
I know.
But like,
do they even have 7-Elevens over there?
Just a power surge, just boom. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that's way cool.
And
freaking awesome.
Just blows transformers and everything, and it takes forever to get it back up online.
Yeah.
And this is an easy scenario. I mean, our system's built a little better, but not much. Like, really, it wouldn't take much to fry the system. Other things, you know, simple. March 13th, 1989, Quebec, Canada.
Hmm.
Suffered an electrical power outage that lasts 12 hours. And this was from the same kind of thing. It was from the sun. There's a little mini coronal injection.
Ooh.
Not too big.
Not too big, not too small.
Kind of snuck up on them. Ooh,
hello.
Where did that sun come from?
Coronal just mass ejected.
I'm going to say that next time my phone dies. Yeah. Oh, hell, I think it just had a coronal mass ejection up there.
God damn sun.
Sun looks weird. The birds are chirping. I bet there was a coronal mass ejection last night. And then more recent, 2017, there was a, have you heard of Dragonfly 2.0? And I'm not talking about the 2002 movie with Kevin Costner. This isn't the second one. So
was that no made a follow-up to the Dragon, Kevin Costner
about movie? About time they got the second one. I like that.
That thing
one
was just aching for a sequel. Right?
Yeah, it needed it. It needed to figure out what happened down in that jungle. So anyways, researchers determined that the malicious group Dragonfly 2.0.
That's the group's name, is Dragonfly 2.0?
Yeah, how awesome is that? That's probably the coolest name I've ever heard.
Let's call ourselves Dragonfly. Wait, hold up. Think about this. Dragonfly 2.0.
Hey, before you hack into the American power grid, what are you calling yourself? Yeah. Some people know us. I'm Dragonfly 2.0.
All right, that's cool.
My dad was Dragonfly 1.0.
Badass, man.
So they basically had connected to the American Power Company system.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's a company. The American Power Company system.
This one's got to be an American. Let's click in and
this
out.
This sounds one ridiculous, but it's true, okay? Yeah. I read it on the internet.
American Power Company. What are we going to call ourselves? Well, we're in America. Make power. We're a company. Shit. I'm an American Power Company.
Go ahead and call it the American Power Company.
2.0.
I don't know. 2.1.
2.1.
So, anyways, this group got in, connected, and they kind of basically, they didn't do anything, but I don't know what they did.
They didn't do anything, but they're in there.
But the researchers figured it was a reconnaissance to see how far they could go, you know, how far they could get connected and basically emit Tron.
Did they get in there pretty good? How far did they get in?
I don't know.
Goddamn wrist deep in there.
They took my files. They took my pictures.
Damn, it took a picture of me. What's going on?
Dragonfly 2.0, I'll kill you.
I'll get you next time.
Anyway, yeah. So a lot of dumb stuff at the end there, but
a lot of dumb stuff. I think there's been dumb stuff all the way through.
I went from the coolest real stuff to like actual little mini scary things. Like
mini scary.
The American Power Company getting shut down.
No, they didn't get shut down. They just got in there.
No, I mean, it could because they've done reconnaissance.
I get you, yeah. Okay.
Anyways, watch out, Dragon 2.0 coming to a power grid near you.
So what is the total grid down? What's it going to look like? I mean, what's going to happen?
It's going to be dark. Birds are going to be chirping.
At night, it'll be dark.
And hell, you get up in the morning and go to work because you think it's time to go to work.
Yeah, but dang. All right, so I'm going to go through a bunch of things. What's going to happen in a bunch of these very important areas of your life? Number one, what are we always talking about?
Well, my most important number one is water.
Water. So that's obviously
personal. This is an important part of my life.
This really hits home for me.
I'm a water lover.
Me and my dad have always drank water. It's been a big thing in my family.
My whole family loves water. Okay. All right. Get on with it. My dad. Stupid. Me and my dad grew up drinking water together.
I remember us, we'd be together, and almost every time we were together, we were drinking water.
Sonny, you want tap water?
That looks like some clean water, Dad.
Can I have a sip of your water? Okay. All right, let's do this.
All right. Water.
Water.
Water. El agua. All right. So, I got to stop, man.
It's going so way back.
Stupid.
It was.
All right. It was so really dumb. Most water in the suburbs, right? They're pumped to the households.
to the households. Okay.
From water treatment plants.
Starting it up. The American right. Power Company, bring it on home.
The water is treated at the treatment plant, and it runs on power, right?
Yeah, it does.
You're being a butthole.
I'm trying to cover my mouth.
I know. So, you know, and also, like, in many large areas, like Los Angeles, Las Vegas, there is, like, absolutely no surface water anywhere. You're not going to go down the street to the lake or to the river or to, you know, whatever. There's
you're
not going to
drink
it.
Out of that Los
you're
Angeles River.
You're definitely not going
no
to.
Way.
No.
I don't even know if it's called the Los Angeles River. I would assume it is.
I assume there's a Los Angeles River somewhere over there. So that means basically water in storage tanks or from the stores is going to be the immediate goal after, you know, something like this. The survival instincts are going to kick in, you know. Strong will take water from the weak.
Yeah.
And bottled water will vanish.
Yeah.
So water.
And a lot of people are like, boom, I got well, mother.
Yeah.
And It's all electrical.
So unless you have backup, you know, stuff on your well, some hand pump or something like that.
I have a cool thing on here I'm going to talk about.
Ooh, I'm excited about that.
That's pretty cool.
So water's going to be tough. A lot of people think, oh, well, power goes out. I'll still have water. No, because the power goes down at the pumping station. You know, it goes down at the treatment plant. That's all going to die soon. You know, they probably have backup generators. But once those the fuel's gone in those.
But who's to say coronal mass ejection won't fry that?
If it's an EMP, that's all gone anyways, so it doesn't matter. All right, so water's going to be bad, so you guys freaking prep your water. Food. We all know store shelves are going to be wiped clean in 3 days after the delivery stop and after the power's gone. 3 days. You have 3 days, and probably before that, too. The first day, most of the good shit's going to be gone.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
All the water, probably. All the really good canned food and all that kind of stuff. And most Americans literally only have a week's worth of food on hand. And that's just – and that's not, like, great food. That's, like, the – scraps in your
the crumbs and stuff and the half eaten bags of chips that are rolled up in
exactly
there.
So you have a week maybe, you know, depending on how large your family is. The food production will actually stop when the grid goes down. They're not going to be producing more food because they need power to do that, so that's actually going to stop. So without power and without running water, agriculture is going to be stopped too. You think about, like, you know, your dad's farm. What are they going to do when the power's gone? They're not going to keep
screwed.
What are they going to do?
They're going to do nothing.
They're
true. Well, like all of our, you know, I grew up on a dairy and those tanks of milk, you know, are cooled. And we've lost power before and we have a tractor generator. But even then, a lot of the times, you know, it doesn't keep it cool enough and that milk is done.
Just goes bad.
It's just tons of it and it's warm. And
your dad's going to be out there just drinking
everybody
as much as
their bellies.
It's going bad soon. So that's going to be bad, right? You know, food, this is something I hear frequently. It's like, oh man, it's all right. I'm just going to start hunting and fishing.
I think everybody thinks food will be the easiest to come by because our country's like abundant in food.
But it's like, I'm just going to go hunt. I'm going to go fish. Everything's going to be fine. I know how to do that stuff. Well, you know, maybe for a couple of days, but everybody else is going to have the same exact idea.
Right.
And what happens when there's like 500 people fishing one little lake?
Right.
There's no fish left.
Exactly.
Right? You know, all the deer run out. All the elk run out, you know. So that's not going to help for too long. So don't rely on that as like your long-term, you know. Like,
right.
I don't need to get my food stored. Don't worry about
it. Right. That's a perfect place to get shot, too.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. So basically, the biggest thing is going to be scavenging. People are just going to scavenge, and that's how they're going to end up getting their food, you know, scavenging. So money and commerce, basically, it ceases. I mean, once the power goes out, you can't buy anything, basically, nope. Right? So no ATMs, no banks, no gas pumps. That makes it tough, right? So,
the till ain't even open. Can't even open the register.
Exactly.
Can't till.
Exactly. So, you know, a lot of times you probably will be able to use cash for a couple of days to get, you know, some things done.
Right. It'll still have value and people won't know how long and still.
Yeah. So cash is going to be great for a little while.
It will, yeah.
So, you know, having that cash on hand is a good thing because, like we said, ATMs are gone. So you're going to have that already on hand.
Yeah.
So basically what becomes the norm is bartering. And we've talked about this before. We actually did an entire episode on bartering. Think about it. Make sure you have stuff to barter with because when it comes down to it, you're going to be using your bartering skills.
You are.
Get that tushanka.
Make sure you get those vices.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Use against everybody.
Yeah,
that's
alcohol,
what we're all about.
Cheez-Its and whatnot. Yeah,
Doritos.
Exactly. So, you know, in the big cities, in the urban areas, there's going to be a huge panic and there's going to be a huge exodus. People are going to try and get out of the city. And that's kind of, you know, maybe not quite immediately, but in the kind of immediate aftermath, people are going to be like, this is bad. I shouldn't be in the city. I need to get out of here. So what's going to happen is the roads are going to be clogged and people are going to start running out of gas and they're not going to be able to get gas. So they're just going to be run out of gas in the middle of the road.
Right.
Right. So that's going to be really bad, and people are going to try and probably get to areas where there's water, you know, maybe lakes or rivers or something, because when there's no water, you start freaking out, man. What are you going to do? You'll start drinking river water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's going to be stealing, there's going to be raping, there's going to be pillaging, and there's going to be plundering, so you better watch out.
There's definitely going to be that.
Yeah, there is.
Police officers, firemen, stuff, they're going to want to say, screw it, I want out.
Yeah, that's going to be scary.
We're going to lose a lot of, good people to keep things safe.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be done with it, too. It's like, screw this, I'll take care of my family
and
first.
Especially after, like, you know, a week or so, it's like, this isn't getting better. You know, things are bad. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to say,
why
screw this.
I feel that way. I would.
I have no reason to stay around.
Right.
Communications, obviously, those are going to be bad. You know, your cell phone might work in the immediate aftermath for a little while. A lot of cell towers have backup power. But, you know, those are probably going to get overloaded, too.
Yeah.
You know, when there's, you know, a disaster or something happens like that, everybody's trying to use their cell phone. That's going to be overloaded.
Everybody uploading their videos. And
Ooh, got to get that up.
Oh, look at this. Dark
this
here,
tweet
too.
Out.
Look, my lights are out.
Look, it's dark. So, you know, if there's EMP, that stuff's not even going to work anyways. Only things that are going to work are things that were protected, hardened in Faraday cages and all that kind
possibly.
Of stuff. Yeah, possibly, yeah. So, you know, in a long-term situation, communications, ham radio is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those ham radio guys have hardened their stuff, you know, Faraday cages. They have battery backups, you know, at repeaters. I mean, it's crazy, but the ham guys do. They're insane.
Find those guys. I got to find one.
Yeah, exactly. Ham radio. Medical. Cam, obviously, you can speak to this pretty well, too.
I'm running the freak away.
Yeah.
I ain't helping nobody.
It's going to be bad. So, pharmacies, in about a week, everything's going to be gone. That's if people are watching it.
Yeah.
If they're
just like, screw it, I'm out.
They might just leave.
And I'd probably do that if I was a pharmacist.
I would, too, because people are going to come and they're going to get nuts.
And they're going to know exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Even right now, before anything, I think they want to kill pharmacists.
You know, the drugs are immediately going to be stopped.
Yeah,
nothing's gonna get.
And you think opioids are valuable now? Can you imagine then?
Yeah. So think about this: a little over 25% of Americans are on opioids or antidepressants. That's 1/4 of everybody.
I'd say 50%, but
so
that's okay.
Yeah. Can you imagine what's gonna happen after about a week when those pills start running out and all your neighbors withdrawals and all those psychos that are on antidepressants that have to. I mean, everybody's gonna be nuts, and it's already a stressful situation.
Yep.
Holy crap! Bad deal, right? Hospitals, they're going to close once the backup power is gone. There's no reason for them to be keeping. I mean, though there might be a couple doctors and nurses that kind of hang around that are like the heroes and whatnot, but you know, most everybody's going to be gone. People on life support, they're done.
They are
dead. I mean, you know, once the backup powers, they're done. They're dead. Right. Deadzos. emergency services, like you said,
that's a deadzo.
dead joke. You go to the next one. Emergency services, like you said, you know, police, fire, that stuff, it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to happen anymore. And diabetics, they're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
You know,
all those people that, yeah, the diabetics, the ones on diaphoresis, the ones that are on, that are in nursing homes, post-surgical. Oh,
yeah. Man, yeah, there's it's bad.
Those people that are already ill mentally or physically, they're screwed.
Yeah, they're totally screwed.
We rely on a big system.
So, yeah, the next part is government. So this, you know, I don't,
screwed again.
It kind of depends on what happens here. But if the government actually makes it through, you know, whatever kind of situation this is, they will most likely implement martial law, because stuff's going to get crazy. People are going to go nuts. They're going to try and implement martial law if they can. And we've talked about that before, too. We had an entire episode on martial law. Go listen to that one, because that'll blow your mind. Martial law, you know.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. The military basically becomes law enforcement. You lose pretty much all your rights, you know, curfews. Right. All those sorts of things. You can't cross state lines. There's so much stuff that's going to happen. So,
yeah,
that's going to be bad.
Your supplies, your storage could become the government's.
Exactly, yeah. Rationing, all that kind of stuff. So,
and your exodus might not be able to happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You could be screwed.
Sanitation. So this one is probably the worst of all. And you might not think it, but it is really, really bad. So after those treatment plants stop, you know, cleaning your water, and after they start pumping, every time you poop in your toilet, you can't flush it no more, right? You can't flush it because you have no water. Everything is going to start backing up. You know, sewer's all jacked up because nothing's running as it should.
People are disgusting.
Yeah. You know, people are
scared. They really are. Themselves.
Yeah.
You're crapping down their legs.
Yep. You're going to stop showering, stop bathing, right, because that's not readily available anymore. They start drinking water that's not good, less than optimal. And this is where stuff like cholera comes back in, and all those disgusting, gross diseases.
Banker from Boston died. Cholera.
What?
The Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? Talking about
banker. Dysentery. Cholera.
This happened, I think we've talked about this before, though. This happened in Haiti after the earthquake. First time cholera has come back in, like, I don't know how many years.
It's crazy.
Because power was gone and there was no running water.
It's amazing how safe and how protected we are from basically nature and natural, you know, diseases because of sanitation.
Exactly. So that's bad. Also fire. I mean, you know, it gets weird because you don't have power. And if it's cold, everybody's going to try and find a way to stay warm in their houses. So they're going to be using candles. They're going to be starting fires probably in places they shouldn't. They're going to be doing crazy stuff.
I'm cold, burn down a house.
Yeah, basically, there's going to be a lot of house fires, and there's no way to stop them.
Yeah.
You don't have any running water.
Right.
So just stuff's going to burn.
Maybe so.
This is going to burn.
Maybe you're lost in the forest. Remember, you start a forest fire.
That's right, yeah. So that's bad. You know, and then nuclear power plants, when they go offline, bad things happen.
Really bad things happen.
Really bad things happen. Radiation.
Mutants.
Mutants.
Fallout.
Yeah. Mutilations.
Mutilations.
Mutilations. So... Anyways,
three-eyed fish, cats.
Yeah, those are a lot of the bad things that might happen in a grid down
scenario.
That's
a lot of bad things that could happen.
And there's a lot more because, I mean, just society itself is in a crazy state. So just dealing with people, you know, is going to be really bad in any way, shape, or form.
It is. It is. And we, surprisingly, we didn't mention the American blackout. We haven't even mentioned it yet.
I did put it up there, but we haven't mentioned it. But that is a good thing to bring up.
So, like at this point, if you guys haven't seen it, Kobe and I both have watched it. It's called American Blackout. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's free on YouTube.
And it's insane, and it really does make you think. Like, when I watched it, there was a lot of stuff that I was like, man, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Like, it shows, you know, like a family, the dad stops to, he's like, running a little low on fuel. And they've had this massive, you know, grid down. And he goes to the ATM to get cash so that he can get gas, and he can't. And then the gas pumps are all shut off. Mm-hmm. The freaky stuff's the people that are in the high-rise towers. And, you know, what if you're in an elevator and that shuts down?
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, you're stuck, and emergency crews can't get in there. And, man, there's just some creepy stuff.
The lady was pregnant, you know, and she was having a baby. That's a bad time.
Yeah, right there, and then the hospital went down.
Yep.
So they're like, it's awesome. It's really one to open your eyes. It even shows the extreme, like the guys that have been prepping, like that one prepper family, and how he had to deal with people that weren't prepared and what it got them into.
Exactly.
Like, it's an awesome eye opener. It's like a what do they call it? Like a
mockumentary type
mockumentary
thing.
Yeah.
It's a fake documentary, but I suggest docudrama. Everybody needs to go see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, go watch it.
I think it was awesome how well done it was.
Yeah.
At first I was like, did this really happen?
Yeah.
Because I knew it wasn't, but I was like, man, a lot of this stuff looks real, just the way it
is.
Did it.
A lot of it is real.
The little electric transformers.
That's all stuff
up
that they've
the
just
fires
like
and
pulled off the internet, you know? So it's really cool. It's
cool
that's
how
awesome.
They put it together. So yeah, check it out.
Yes, sir.
So ways to prep for a blackout. So it kind of comes down to that customizing your kits and things like that. Obviously, your basic stuff is always going to help in every scenario.
Yeah.
The number one things, water, food. So as for water, before I get to that.
Sure.
Thinking about the grid going down, thinking about darkness, total darkness, and not having electricity, possibly losing electronic devices and things like that. You need to have a plan or a thing set up. Like in our house, I have flashlights strategically placed in my house. Like
that's
I know where
idea.
Most of them are. And then I get home, my kids have pulled them all out. And they're all in one spot.
And all the batteries are dead.
Yes. They've been turned on overnight. But having a way to like navigate through your house and have ways for your kids also that they know where they can get a light. Where are they going to get a light?
We talked about in the prepping for power outages one, we talked about making a blackout kit.
Yes, that's
right.
So
that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's a way to just kind of throw all the stuff together for specific events where you cannot, you know, it's just a total blackout.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, lights accessible in different areas through your house or emergency backup lights, hall lights, things like that. So anyway, to the basic stuff, the most important obviously is your water supply. You know, and I was talking a little bit about the well system. You know, I wish I had a well. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But most of them, to be useful, use an electric pump to bring the water up. There are ways to avoid that shutting everything off for you. There's a little system that you can look up online. I thought it was pretty sweet. It's called
Emerge.
Yeah, Emerge.
Mm-hmm.
EMERG.
Yes.
It's a really kind of fascinating system that goes over top of your well system so you're not messing with the pipes, pulling crap up and you know, screwing up your well. And it allows you to, you know, to drop this little thing down in there, and it's a real complicated system. I can't go into details. But they do have those systems out there for people that have wells that I highly encourage you to look into.
It's a really good idea.
That India thing with the power outage, that was a big problem just because freaking India isn't just a basic desert. A lot of them rely on wells, and they lost power to them all. So your water storage, you know, you got to have those several different ways to prepare your water, to sanitize your water, and, you know, proper storage. And anyway.
You have to have the actual physical water. You have to have something to filter water.
Exactly.
And you have to have, you know, different ways to filter the
exactly.
water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you got to put into account, you know, sanitation with water. You have to put into account the use of water for your preparing your food and all that
stuff. And that's something that my wife and I have done too. When we're done with a laundry detergent bottle, we actually fill it with water so that way you can use it for cleaning or washing up or whatever.
It's smart because it's still like super concentrated.
Yeah, it's great.
Soap
on
the inside of there.
Yep.
For food, preparing your food, you got to think about also those things that are going to allow you to prepare the food without a lot of energy use.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to have electricity. You're using fire and stuff in your house. You know, you got carbon monoxide to deal with, chance of starting things on fire. Plus, you want to use that fuel maybe for heating if you're out close to the months of winter.
Yep.
And also put into thought, if you are going to bug out, like if you have supplies that are dry and easy to transport, you know, in a nice container. So just ways to think about your food prepping is, you know, how you're going to prepare it, how much water you're going to use, and, you know, ones that you can actually take with you, how easy you can transport that food if you need to get out.
Yeah.
Next thing would be your lighting. Different ways to illuminate the house. They've got solar lights. They have candles are awesome. They're never going to fail.
Yep.
You always are going to have either an oil candle, or they have those 72-hour candles that are just a bottle of oil and a wick.
Yep.
I highly encourage you get those because they, no matter what scenario,
they're
not going to fail.
Yeah, if you can light them, they're going to work.
And So yeah, you want to have ways to navigate in the dark and have ways to feel comfortable and be able to.
I think everybody should have 4 or 5 solar lights.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And solar flashlights and stuff like that too. You know, lanterns, all different types. Yeah. Just have a bunch
of them. They have so many different things out
there. Oh, there's
tons.
Like,
you're stupid.
And they're actually relatively
multiple.
Inexpensive.
They really are.
You can get stuff pretty cheap and they work pretty well.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you want something to comfort kids, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just have a bunch of freaking lights.
Yep.
And then we talked a little bit about having Faraday cages just in case you want to hopefully protect some digital, you know, content. We've talked about old devices having a lot of PDFs and files to help you with medical things.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Look into those Faraday cages. Heating and cooling. So depending on the time of year, if your power goes out, if it goes out in the summer, I will kill myself.
Yeah. Well,
I cannot stand to be
hot.
I would rather be dealing with cold.
Yeah.
I think there's ways to
avoid. You can always put on more blankets and huddle up. But if it's 190 degrees in your house,
do
you do?
Yeah.
Just wet yourself down. That's about all you can do.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You pour all your water on you. Just swim in that water bob in your bathtub.
I'm going to be thirsty, but right. I'm going
to
be cool.
So there's a lot of alternative ways to make like a little solar powered like cooler. I wanted to make one.
Yeah.
Kobe and I talked about making, you can use a 5-gallon bucket and create a solar power like swamp cooler. It's pretty dang cool. So you need to look into those things too, to be comfortable. And it also for health reasons, you know, to help you to not freeze to death and help you to not have heat stroke crap like that.
Yeah.
Fuel, obviously, can be used for multiple things, even bartering. So, multiple forms of fuel, propane, butane.
Octane.
Yep. Bupivacaine.
Yeah, I mean.
Lidocaine.
That's the fuel is a big thing, man, and I just haven't done what I should fuel-wise.
My goal this year is to get a generator, a backup power system, and I preferably like a dual or triple fuel, you know, either propane and gasoline or diesel gas.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then comms, you know, you want to have ways to communicate with others and family members. You know, the ham radio guys, you know, they're way ahead of everybody in that regard. And that's a skill that I need to work on.
Yeah. And you can get into the ham radio stuff and, you know, at the bottom end, pretty freaking cheap. Those Baofeng, like the ones we have, are like $30 or something like that. And obviously you can only listen at this point until you get your, you have to get a technician license first or something like that.
Yeah.
But why not just start? Why not get it? Because when it goes down, and I don't really give a shit if I have a license or not. You know, I'm going to be trying.
I know.
You know.
Come on, where's
where's
your rock station?
Tune in Tokyo, whatnot.
Ain't hacking this, mother effers. Another big thing is the sanitation stuff that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Having ways to get rid of your waste. You know, you're still civilized. You don't want to be pooping in the middle of the floor. Toilet don't work. I'm going to crap out in the laundry room.
Don't worry. We're just going to crap in the washer from now on, guys. That's what we're doing.
The washer. Oh, man. See that? Just crap in your neighbor's trunk.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you gotta plan for ways to dispose of that waste to keep yourself safe from sickness, you know.
And there's like really, really easy things you can do. Learn how to dig a cat hole. Learn how to do all those types of things that, you know, go away from where you're living and do those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's also, it's not just crapping. There's also like all the garbage that you produce, you
know.
Exactly. And
the garbage man, garbage don't work on.
No, man. It's Tuesday. Shouldn't the garbage man be coming in? Remember, we ain't got
a massive pile out there. Why is he not coming? But yeah, you got to, all of that stuff is just a health hazard.
Yeah.
Have ways to do that. Have ways to take care of yourself so you don't stink and be disgusting all the time.
Yeah.
First aid, basic supplies for, you know, your basic medicines, having a stock of those, Tylenol, ibuprofen, Pepto-Bismol, Tums. Pepto-Bismol, Tums, Imodium.
Rolaids.
Rolaids. and then, you know, just bandages and things to take care of basic wounds. And then hopefully sutures and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And then you need to look ahead if you're, you know, a medical junkie and you got all kinds of medical problems.
Yeah,
you need
that's
diabetes,
the bad thing.
Medicines and things like that. Insulin, ugh, that's going to be rough. And you really have got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about that on some medical tips of trying to keep your insulin cold. A lot of them, you know, once you've got 30 days, basically, if you have a supply of that, after that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you better have at least looked at some alternate natural ways that you can at least try and help that situation. And there are some ways you can do it.
Yeah. So we talked about cash money too. Having bills, and they're going to be useful, especially in a short term thing.
Yeah.
You know, several months, you're still going to be able to find that sucker that wants more cash.
And then maybe even like after that point, you know, you have your gold and silver that will probably be pretty good. You know,
exactly.
You know, a lot of people are really into the gold and silver. I'm not as much into it. I'd rather just have food and water and ammo and those things, you know.
Right.
Because if I'm going to barter with something, I'm not going to ask for gold. I'm going to ask for food, water, first aid, ammo. Those are the things I want.
Rice.
Rice.
Garbage bags.
Garbage bags.
About burped and threw up in your mic.
Thank you.
Burp vomit.
Burp.
Some alternative things, like I was talking about the generator.
Yep.
Looking to getting a really good system that can bring power back online.
Yeah.
There's multiple ways to do it. There's solar power ways to do it. There's, you know, several different fuel types. Or you could just strap your kids to a bicycle system and have them power up light bulbs in a microwave.
In American Blackout, they had the little bike system going on, huh?
So there's manpower, you know?
Yeah.
And then a battery system having a...
Yeah.
That's one thing that I'd like to have is a big solar power rechargeable system.
I want to get one of them Tesla batteries in my house, man.
And then just a word to the wise... It's really easy to, you do not have your carbon monoxide sensors. You do not have your fire, you know, your alarms. So it's a lot more dangerous than it's ever been.
Yeah. Be careful when you're cooking inside, how you're cooking.
A lot of people have all their stuff in the basement and they're going to prepare stuff down there and carbon monoxide is undetectable.
Yeah.
Start having a headache. Next thing you know, you're in heaven.
Open them or hell. I got a headache. Whoa, I'm in hell.
And I end up in here. This place looks secure.
I'm going to hold it.
Where's your water supply?
Didn't bring mine with me.
Can I suck on these clouds?
Is that your sprinkler?
So anyway, that's it. I mean,
grid down, suckers.
Preparing for the grid down is pretty much a lot like all the other stuff.
Just
get your water and your food and your organization and your power and your fuel and your sanitation and your medicine.
Exactly.
The end.
So thank you, Cameron. That was fantastic.
Hey, I appreciate it. You bet.
Let's talk about survival boxes.
Let's do. So survival boxes, you guys heard of these guys? You need to go check them out. So survival boxes are the only subscription box packed with all of the essential survival supplies that you need for prepping to survive disasters or your next door outdoor adventure. There are three different boxes to choose from, so sign up today and start getting survival boxes delivered to your dang door every month.
Every dang month.
No contracts. Cancel any friggin' time you want.
Mm-hmm.
Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off your first box on any monthly subscription at survivalboxes.com.
You want to survive grid down?
I do.
Get survival boxes.
Seriously, just make it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I want some food delivered and a little bit of tools.
Yeah.
You got your choice. Food.
Yep.
Only gear. Both.
Exactly.
Awesome setup.
Yeah. Go check out survival boxes. You can
cancel anytime. Get 10% off casual preparation.
So we actually have a tack pack we want to talk about right now. That's what we have.
Tack pack.
They sent us some really cool stuff, and we're going to talk about it. Probably in the box somewhere. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, tech pack number one, 9-line hoodie, $42.99. Fantastic looking hoodie. It's soft. No, we're going with the hoodie first, bro.
Oh, the hoodie.
The hoodie.
Oh, it's a full-on hoodie in there.
Yeah, it's a full-on hoodie. Oh. It's a nice soft long sleeve hoodie tee. It's really sexy.
I'm going to get naked in there.
I don't think it's going to fit me, so I'm going to have to give it to Cameron. He got a little bit bigger. Top side than I do. Hit top side bigger.
That is pretty big, huh?
But my bottom side bigger, you know what I mean? Anyways, fantastic
that
looking.
It does feel super nice.
It does feel. I want to like sleep in that.
Now.
Okay.
Mine.
It's like my nightshirt. Give it back. I've been sleeping.
Do I have to wear pants with this? Yeah,
you absolutely do not.
Nope.
No. The next thing is Lux Pro LP1035 focusing LED 420 lumen flashlight.
Yes.
And this sucker is pretty dang bright.
It did. Blind me in my left eye earlier.
Yeah, ultra bright spotlight flood focus beam. Three modes, high, low, strobe, 420 lumens. Good gracious. Get that thing out of my face.
Kobe's got a tan now.
Yeah, $30 value. Next thing, Tac Pack beanie. Look at that sucker. A freaking Tac Pack beanie. Look at it. Just beautiful. The ball on
that
top.
That is cool, though.
Fuzzy and whatnot.
If you're a Steelers fan, you will also love this.
Yeah, it's in the black and yellow and white. It's good stuff. And the last thing is the Kershaw Injection 3.0. It's a $54 value. Fantastic.
So with our discount, this is $45. Like, look at all this.
Like, it's like insane.
This is almost as much as the entire box.
I don't even know what the whole value is. It's 43 plus 30 plus 25 plus 55.
These guys are thieves. They must have stole stuff
from
these other
companies.
They are
literally like working with like the Chinese mafia to get this stuff. I don't know how they do it. Kershaw Injection is a fantastic knife. I actually already have that knife, so I'm thinking Cam's going to get that one.
I really do want this knife.
So it's a fantastic little knife. So it's like the Takapak.
I almost split that too.
That was awesome. So go get your own Tac Pack.
Man, incredible. I do not know how.
I don't get it.
They must work in China.
I know. They got like the Chinese mafia out there stealing
my
stuff.
My dad runs China. I'm gonna start a company.
My dad will run China. He's a president of China.
He's Mr. China. Anyway.
Yeah.
Check him out. $45 gets you an enormous amount of stuff.
No
and
doubt.
Then survival.
It's time
box.
For the quick and dirty medical.
I guess I'm gonna go ahead and do this because I'm being forced into it.
Uh-huh.
So I actually was talking to Kobe about this week. So at the
did we talk this week?
On text phone.
Oh, the texty wexties. Uh-huh.
So I get super frustrated at work because I feel like I need to have this public education to teach people about like what is important to be seen for and what is not. Like,
everybody, listen up.
Listen, I don't want to see you at the urgent care. You hear me?
Don't come to urgent care if you got a pimple. It's stupid.
If it's big and all pussy and stuff, that's okay.
Just pop it and move on with your life.
So I just wanted to focus on, you know, fever, chills, cough, and stuff. So obviously, everybody, they're always concerned. Pneumonia. I see people check in all the time. I got pneumonia. I had the pneumonias.
I'm pretty sure I got pneumonia.
I'm pretty sure I went outside. I got cold sniffles. I got pneumonia. It drives me nuts. I'm like, okay, well, what are your symptoms? Yeah, my nose is running and coughing, and I have the pneumonia. It's like,
This is the fifth time this week I had pneumonia.
Right. So, yeah, it's obviously hard to detect because you can't see your lungs. You're inside. Uh-huh, right?
What is pneumonia? I mean, what is it like?
So, yeah, pneumonia medically is an infection within the lung parenchyma. Yeah. So it's within the lung tissue. On X-ray, it lights up because it's an effusion. There's fluid and infection. It's viral or it's bacterial.
It's not fun to have. I've had it before.
No, it's miserable.
It's dumb.
And you can't breathe because you don't perfuse. You know, you're breathing. You're not getting that oxygen exchange, so you're like, get in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So pneumonia is rough, and people typically that are healthy, they look like death. Like most of the time they do. Kids are hard because it's a little sneaky. It gets in there, and you know they do. They just basically, the common things with kids is their energy level. You know, typically they're annoying and bouncing off the walls, eating everything in sight.
Sounds like a kid.
And they start looking like they're more lethargic. They're laying around more. They're sleeping more, and you know their cough sounds a little bit deeper. Sometimes even you get up next to them, you can hear the crackling. You can hear the stridor, the wheezing. So just what I wanted to just put my point was, these are the things within your group. Obviously, if you have a medical professional and you're suspecting these based on what I'm going to tell you, go to a medical professional. Don't treat yourself. I'm going to tell you how to treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Because of our podcast.
I got pneumonia. Treat yourself.
Right. Treat yourself. So when you're looking for, you know, if you're worried about pneumonia within your group, these are the things I ask patients when they come in. You know, they've been coughing, they've had a runny nose. So I ask, you know, is your cough productive? Are you coughing up a colored mucus? You know, is it brown? Is it green? Is it red? Is there blood in it? Those are more concerning than just coughing.
Yeah.
Coughing isn't always a sign. It could be. Uh-huh. So like I said, don't take this, you know, Yeah, he's fine.
He should.
He's been sleeping all day, and he's not coughing up stuff. He's fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, use your best judgment. This patient or this person looks really sick. So I ask him, are they coughing up a lot of thick, nasty mucus? If they're not, if it's clear, little less likely that it's pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, what is your energy level? Are you super winded? Are you exhausted? Or is your exertional energy down? I mean, endurance. You walk out of the mailbox and back. You're like, I can't breathe. Obviously, you're not getting a good oxygen exchange. So there's a good chance you have fluid in your lungs. And then, the other thing is I ask them, are you fevering? Fever typically in a healthy person will be present mm-hmm. in pneumonia.
Yeah.
Their elevated temperature. Early onset, flu, obviously, it's usually clear, runny nose, itchy eyes, and fever, and they're coughing. Sure. If you got a stethoscope, you don't need to be a genius to listen. You can hear inside somebody's lungs, like it sounds like plastic tearing apart. It's like, you can hear that crunchiness. It's obvious that they have effusion in there. So I don't know if this is very helpful, but I'm just saying. I ask about mucus production. I ask about if they're fevering. These are the points that make it more obvious. And if you have that pulse oximeter, you can put on their finger.
Mm-hmm.
I highly encourage you get one. Because if they're below 90, they probably have pneumonia
mm-hmm.
or some other problem with their lungs.
And then basically you're looking at trying to find
below pneumonia
antibiotics.
So that's what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you to treat yourself. This is only in dire situations. Don't waste your antibiotics if they're not coughing up mucus. They've had a fever for a day or two, but they don't look that sick. Cold, you can tell cold, but if they're pale, they can't breathe, they're coughing up nasty mucus, and they're fevering, and this is, a couple of days, and they're obviously getting worse, use those antibiotics. And I go broad spectrum antibiotics. Cipro will work. I like cefalexin. Keflex is a really good one. These are all fish antibiotics. Amoxicillin will work, can work. So using mm-hmm. those common ones when these symptoms look more obvious. But don't waste them. Little bit of a fever's fine. If there's clear mucus, they're breathing fine. Their oxygen saturation with the finger thing is 95 and above, even 92 and above.
The finger thing, is that the medical
term? That's a little... That's like the pulse oximeter. So if their pulse is high, their oxygen's low, they're fevering, their lungs sound horrible, they're coughing up mucus that's really colored, that's pneumonia.
Okay.
So don't go to urgent care. Wake up. Don't start your antibiotic when you have a sore throat first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like these people are not going to survive very long because they don't have a good education of... Obviously, we're there to help, but... It's just like use common sense, look at how sick that person is. Don't waste your antibiotics if there's no sign of bacterial production. Not always do you get it, but most of the time you do.
It's like everybody wants antibiotics like immediately.
They do. And honestly, more than 75% of the time you do not need them.
Yeah.
It's viral.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's viral pneumonias and those are bad, but look for those signs of infection.
Wow.
I don't know if that helped any. Probably not.
It does. It helped me.
So
help me.
Anyways.
Greatly.
I quit.
I quit. I'm done with this.
Don't treat yourself. Treat yourself only in dire situations.
Exactly. Disclaimer. All right. Disclaimer.
Yep.
Disclaimer. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you stopping by, listening to the podcast. Appreciate you checking us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all those effing places. We're there. We hope to see you back in a couple weeks when we kick out another podcast. And we're almost to 50. We're almost to number 50, and on 50, we're going to do a special episode where we let you guys just ask us a whole bunch of stupid-ass questions.
This can be so rad.
Yeah, so if you have any questions, if they're serious or if they're not, I don't really care. Send us some questions. I don't care how you do it to us, but casualpreppers podcast@gmail.com.
Cool.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right, later.